There we go. So yes, I want to speak to you today on the power of the blood and the different signs that we have that come from the blood of Christ, those signs, what they are and what they mean for us. So I just want to look at Hebrews 12, 24 this morning. I'm just putting this all up in notes so that you can follow on here yourself, which I think makes it a little bit easier for you guys as well, just to have something to follow every now and again. So Hebrews 12, 24 says, "And unto Jesus you have come." It says that you've come unto Mount Zion, the holy mountain. It also says then, "You have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Now that word mediator, to Jesus the mediator, what does that mean for us? That word in the Greek means is mesites, and it means one who intervenes between two to make or restore peace and friendship. And I just thought, this is an amazing word, mesites, the one who intervenes between two to make or restore peace and friendship. And this whole word mediator kind of sums Christ up, doesn't it? In the fact that between you and him, between me and him, between us together, there's been a covenant that has been made. And it's been made because of Christ, that he is the one that has come in between darkness and our lives to take us from that place of darkness and to restore us, to restore peace to us and restore friendship to us with God. I think it's such a powerful title to give someone, a mediator, one who restores, one who brings peace, one who brings order out of chaos. I think about people in war times and the mediators that they've had to try and bring two nations together back into a place of peace. You know, the peace talks. We've had lots of peace talks in Ireland, peace talks in Afghanistan, peace talks, peace talks. And the mediators carry such a big responsibility of trying to bring peace and trying to bring reconciliation and a form of friendship between nations. And so Christ with us today, he brings that reconciliation for us and that peace for us between us and the Father, which is such an amazing title to give to him. Also, when you think about when in the New Age and in the spirit realm of darkness, you have the mediums. The mediums are exactly the same form. They're the ones that mediate between you and the darkness. So we want to have the right medium, the right mediator, and that is Jesus Christ of the new covenant under the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This word sprinkled is really interesting in this particular verse. It's harantismos, and that term is only used by biblical and ecclesiastical writers. And why it's used is that this specific type of blood was birthed for the sole purpose of purification, of cleansing. The blood, so the blood of the lambs that were kept for sacrifice, they were kept pure, they were kept holy, they were kept clean, they were fattened up. And this term is only used by biblical and ecclesiastical writers. And it means the blood was only and specifically used for purification. It was appointed for one purpose and one purpose only, for purification. Come on. Which means that this sprinkled blood of Jesus was given for one purpose only. It was appointed. He was appointed for one purpose, to bring purification for the sole purpose that we could be reunited with the Father. So his blood wasn't just any blood. It was a purposed blood. It was holy. It was kept pure so that the power of that blood would cleanse us and purify us and redeem us and bring us back to the Father. Come on. The word blood in this verse is hema, and it's the seat or foundation of life itself. The seat or foundation of life itself. So when we think about the sprinkled blood of Christ, we think of it as the foundation, the very foundation that gives life to us, that gives life to our mortal bodies, that gives life to our spirit, that gives life to our soul. So the blood is like, it's a life-giving flow. It's the foundation, the very baseline of life itself. And this word speaks a better word, is laelo. And that's to utter a sound, to speak as a voice. Now, in this verse, it says that the blood of Jesus speaks. It speaks. It has a sound attached to it. It has a volume. It has an utterance. It speaks what? What does it speak? It says it speaks something better. Kratos. This root word comes from kratos, and it means it's more useful, it's serviceable, it is more excellent, and it is better than. This word for the blood that speaks a sound. So this word for the blood, it means also a force, a strength, mighty with power and dominion. So when this scripture in Hebrews speaks about the blood of Christ, he's saying that this blood actually has a sound to it, but it doesn't only have a sound. This blood has a force that's attached to it. It has strength. It is mighty with power, and it has dominion. It has dominion. It has authority. The blood of Christ has authority, and it speaks a better word. So it speaks a better word than what? The blood of Abel. Now, Abel means breath. The name Abel actually means breath. But when you break it down into the original Hebrew, it has got three letters. It's got He, Bet, and Lamed. And He means to behold. Bet means the heart of man where God communes. And Lamed means taught by God and instructs or teaches others from that place of intimacy. I remember Roz saying that Lamed is like where you reach up to heaven, up to God, and God speaks to you and it comes through you and then out to others. So that's what Lamed means. So Abel means you could kind of draw together and saying that the breath of God draws attention to the heart that leads to lessons from him to be shared by others. Let me read that again. Abel, the power of the name, the breath of God drawing attention to the heart that leads to lessons from him to be shared with others. So if we go back to Hebrews 24, then we are looking at the power, the blood of Christ, the mediator, and the sprinkled blood of Christ speaks a better word. So that mediator, his blood, the very, is the foundation of life, and that blood speaks a better word. What does it speak? It speaks with force and strength and power and authority. It speaks something excellent. It speaks something better. Better than what? Better than the blood of Abel. Better than the very breath of God drawing attention to the heart, leading to lessons from him to be shared with others. So the blood of Christ is like crucial for everything that we are going through right now to establish us. If we have the understanding of the blood of Jesus, then we can work from that place. The blood is a sign. So Exodus 12:13 says, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood of Jesus is a protection. The blood of Jesus brings deliverance. I will pass over you. When God comes with judgment, when God comes to make a point on the earth, when he sees the blood of Christ on you, it says he will pass over you. When we have the blood of Jesus flowing through our veins, and we have Christ as the seed of our lives filling us with everything that he is, it means that when judgment comes on the earth, that Christ will pass over us. There is protection for you in the blood of Jesus. There's deliverance from you in the blood of Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but I was delivered from a lot of stuff from when I was younger, a lot of anger, a lot of offense. I was an angry, angry girl. And you know, when Jesus came into my life, he set me free from that anger. Do I still get narky every now and again? Yes, I do. But do I partner with anger and rage? No, I don't. So I have been delivered from anger. The cry of the blood has a cry. As we said earlier, it speaks a better word. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. I remember many years ago, I had a vision of, I woke up actually in this vision, and I was standing on the edge, looking out onto a beautiful, beautiful green, onto this beautiful, beautiful field. And the sun was shining. It was a warm day. And I looked over to the right, and there was lots of churches and church people all having picnics, and they had their little rugs and they were drinking tea and they were eating their sandwiches. And then I realized I was actually standing on the edge of a precipice. Behind me was a precipice, and you couldn't see the bottom. And I could hear the screams and cries that were coming up from this precipice. And then I looked to my right and my left, and there was these huge gaps between me and other people standing along the edge of this precipice. And I saw coming toward me hundreds and thousands of people, men, women, and children. And they were blind. The closer they got to me, I realized they were blinded and they couldn't see the precipice. And I started shouting out to the people sitting on the grass, having their sandwiches and their tea. And I said, please come and help. Please come and help. And we were grabbing them one by one by one. But even though we were grabbing so many, there were many falling over the edge, falling into this precipice. And you could hear the screams and you could see them grabbing little tufts of grass as they went down. And I could hear their cries. And it's like people were oblivious to the cries of these blinded ones. And we couldn't stop. We could only save so many. And as this moment went on, I could feel this warmth coming around my feet. And as I looked down, it was blood. And it was blood of these lost ones that were coming up out of the pit. And it went over my feet. And it started to spread over the grass. And it started to spread over to those that were having their picnics and their teas. And they just got up and they moved to another place. And they got up and they moved to another place. And it was like there was no cry for them to come and help. And just these ones kept falling. And when I researched it, I realized that Amy Carmichael had a very similar vision. And it was called the cry of the blood. And it was called the cry for those that just don't know who Christ is, that don't know that they can have like freedom and joy and be united with their Father in heaven and like have this eternity. It's going to be like so super amazing. And it's, they were like falling and falling. And the Lord said to me, their blood I will require of your hands. Their blood I will require of your hands. People, we do not have time to have picnics. We do have time to have picnics, but it shouldn't be our priority. It shouldn't be our priority. Our priority is to go and love those around us, to see lives transformed, to see lives changed, to see hope brought in where there's hopelessness, to introduce these ones to their daddy, to their father that loves them immensely, that wants so much for them. Next one is the sign of a covenant. The sign of a covenant. So that last one, So that last one was the blood as a sign. The blood will be a sign for you. I will pass over you. The cry of the blood. This is the sign of a covenant. Exodus 24, verse 8 says, Moses then took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Now, normally a covenant is like a handshake or a signed thing of between two people. But when God made a covenant with the people, he actually made the covenant on his own. He's like, I'm saying, I am establishing this covenant. I am sprinkling the blood upon you because I am covenanted to you as my people. I am covenanted to you as my people. And I just want to assure you today and just remind you today that God is covenanted toward you. He is covenanted. He has made promises. He has established those promises. He has made decrees and declarations. He is covenanted to you. Why? Through the blood. The blood has been sprinkled. The blood has been given. So the sprinkling of blood is a sign of a divine order put in place by God over his people. Put in place by God over his people. The next one, the blood is a sign of consecration. So Exodus 29:21 says, and take some blood from the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and their garments. And then he and his sons and their garments will be consecrated. So remember earlier we spoke about the purification, the cleansing. And we know that Aaron, the priest, couldn't go into the tabernacle with not being cleansed, without being pure. And here we see, again, the Lord is saying, take the blood from the altar, which speaks of what? It speaks of Christ and the cross. So the blood from the altar and the anointing oil. And what does the anointing oil represent for us today? It represents the power of the Holy Ghost. Represents the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, that when we surrender to God, when we surrender to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit, his spirit lives in us. Come on. It's like we take on and in, we become the tabernacle of God. We become that place where God dwells. His anointing oil flows through us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So that means that we are then consecrated unto God. It means that he then has ownership of our lives, that we are given over to him. It's like you come out of one family, the family of the world, and you come into the family of God. You come out of the darkness, you come into the light, you become a child of God. You're no longer an orphan or a slave or a servant. You are a son or a daughter of God. I mean, how freaking awesome is that? How awesome is that? Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've thought. It doesn't matter what you've said. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. It doesn't matter about your mistakes. Jesus said that his blood covers it all. He covers our shame. He covers our mess ups. And today, because of the blood of Jesus, you stand free. You stand holy and you stand consecrated before God. The next sign is the sign of inheritance and legacy. Who believes in inheritance? Eh? Our kids are already saying, oh, can I have that ring when you die, mummy? Can I have this when you pop it, when you pop your clogs? And I'm like, bog off. I'm not going to go anywhere for the next 60 years. You'll have to fight me for it. So in 2 Samuel, if you want to just look up 2 Samuel chapter 7. Second Samuel chapter 7, verses 4 to 12. It says, but that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of the rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built a house of cedar? Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them, any more as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name. So God believes in inheritance. Blood was the entitlement to inheritance. So if we have inherited the blood of Jesus, if we have accepted Christ, the Bible says that because of the blood that was shed, that we have inheritance. It says that we have gone from being slaves and orphans in the world to becoming sons, daughters, and priests. That we are called to rule and reign, to have authority in this world. That we're called to heal the sick, raise the dead. Anybody raised the dead yet? Come on, people, you're slacking. So we're called to carry inheritance, and our children are called to carry inheritance after us, to follow in that pathway. The next one's a sign of forgiveness. Matthew 26, 28 says, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, some say, you know, the Old Testament wasn't relative, but it is relative. But this is the New Testament. This is Christ. So this is like directly speaking to us today, as was the old, but this is like from him. And he said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Forgiveness, this word forgiveness, it's massive today, isn't it? Even the doctors and the medics are saying that if we can learn to forgive, that our bodies would get healed. If we learn to forgive, that our immune systems would become healthy, our adrenal systems would become healthy. That forgiveness is like drinking a poison and hoping the other person dies. Forgiveness is like drinking a poison and hoping the other person dies. It's like, why do we do it? Why do we hang on to that? Even the doctors are saying today that we need to have times where we release forgiveness to people that have hurt us and wounded us, because it makes us bitter. And the Bible says that bitterness is death to our bones. Bitterness is death to our bones. So, hey, I'm a bit of a health freak. So I'm going to keep a clean health sheet on forgiveness, because I don't want to get sick. I want my bones to be healthy, you know. So this is the blood of the covenant. So forgiveness is, that word in Greek is aphesis, and it means to release from bondage, to let go as though any act was ever committed, to the remission of a penalty. So when we accept Christ into our lives, we are totally released from all debt to God. We are totally released from all bondage. So the things that we would be like, that we would struggle with, or that we would be addicted to, there's an absolute freedom. As we release forgiveness, there's a freedom that comes into our lives from any type of bondage that has held us, whether it's a mindset, whether it's a habit, anything. It's like we are set free. We can walk out of that if we so choose. The power is there to do that. Poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Sins is hamartia, and it means to miss the mark. People say, oh, what is sin? Sin's not really a popular word today, is it? But we just think, well, sin is literally just to miss the mark. It's to wander from the law of God, or to violate the law of God through word, thought, or deed. So where the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believed in him would be saved." I'm like that whosoever. I know that you guys are like the whosoever. You are a whosoever. And if you're a whosoever, you have violated the law of God somewhere in your word, what you've said, in your thoughts, or what you've done in your actions. And today Jesus says to you that this blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, and it's poured out for what? The forgiveness of your sins. Next sign is the sign of justification. Romans 5:9, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? There is a day coming when everyone will stand before the Lord. And you can either stand before him as your father judge, or you can stand before him as your judge. I want to stand before him as he is my father, not as a judge. I don't want to face the judgment of God as a judgment onto condemnation. I want the judgment onto, hey girl, well done. Come on through. Come on through. And that word justified is dikaiō, and it means to be rendered totally righteous. Come on, to be rendered totally righteous, as though you had never failed in word, thought, or deed. So when you have given your life to Christ, that's how he sees you. He sees you like you've never messed up. He sees you like you've never thought anything bad, done anything bad, acted in a bad way, that you've never sinned. He just sees you as holy, as perfect. And that word saved, that you shall be saved, is the word sozo. And it means to make well, to heal, to restore, to wholeness, to deliver from the penalty of judgment. That's like, I'm like, come on. It's like so good. And it speaks about the wrath of God, that you're going to be saved from the wrath of God. It's that word is orge. And that word is the anger of God, the temper, the negative, dangerous impulses of God, the violent emotion of God, the anger and the indignation. I don't want to face that. And we don't have to today. For those of us that know Christ, we have that forgiveness. We have been justified. We have been consecrated. We are holy unto the Lord, and we are on a road of freedom. The next sign is a sign of redemption. So Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Redemption. What is redemption? Simply means deliverance. Redemption means a paid ransom. Redemption means liberation from bondage and debt. Come on. So in him you have redemption. In him you've been delivered. In him the ransom has been paid for all your mess. In him you have liberation from any bondage that has held you in the past. It's good news, guys. The next one, the blood, is a sign of a transfer. Did you realize that? It's a sign of a transfer. Colossians 1:13 says that, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You've been taken from dominion, from the authority of darkness, from the authority of the enemy, and you've been brought into, transferred into the kingdom of the Son. You've been brought into the kingdom of light, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. Come on. That word darkness means that actually it's like darkened eyesight or blindedness. It means ignorance respecting divine things and human duties, ungodliness, immorality. And people who walk in darkness, they can't see their way through. So this like darkness, rescued from darkness. So we've been rescued. We've been given eyes to see. We've been given the ability to walk out of stuff. We've been given the ability to see visibly into a different kingdom. So he's brought you out. This word brought out is actually transferred. It's methistemi. And it actually means to transfer. So it's like if I transfer to you 50 quid from my bank account to your bank account. Yeah, come on. Nice. If I transfer £50 from my bank account to your bank account, that is a methistemi. It has a transference has happened. So whenever it means to remove from one place and transfer to another, a change of situation or a change of place. So when God says that you've been brought out of darkness into, means that he has literally transferred you from one place or situation to another. You've literally been transformed. You've been literally been transferred. It says into the kingdom, which is Basilia. And we all know that it's like the Basilica, you know, the big like massive chapels and things like that. But that word Basilia actually means the royal power and dignity conferred on Christians in the kingdom of God. So you've been transferred into and given dominion and rule. You've been given royal power and dignity in the kingdom. Like, that's really powerful. A realm or territory subject to the rule of the king. In Hebrews 9:14, it says, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death?" Now, I don't know about you guys, but this is a sign of a clean conscience. How much more will the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit cleanse our conscience? I know the one thing that I really struggled with, like growing up and throughout life, throughout a lot of my life, has been my conscience. You know, the thing is, your conscience is the area where the devil plays with you. It's like he reminds you of your past. He reminds you of your past. He reminds you of your failures. It's like your conscience is like, before Jesus, was like prone to going one way. It was prone to going the way of the world. Just, you were in a flow with everybody else, and you just got into that boat and you were just in that flow. And your conscience didn't really see anything too harmful in it until you began to realize that you couldn't get out of that boat. And you began to realize that your conscience, that things in your past began to come forward again and began to torment you again. And there were things from my past that tormented me. And yet now I understand that the blood of Jesus through the Holy Spirit has cleansed, it said, cleanses our consciousness from acts that lead to death, which means that our conscience is being made new. It has been made new. The conscience is like the soul of the person. It distinguishes between what is morally good and what is bad. It prompts you to do either the former thing or the new thing. It commends something or it condemns something. So depending where you stand, whether you stand in that boat with the world's kingdom and that river, or whether you are in that river with God, depends on what power you have to command and condemn, what power you have to make good decisions morally, whether for good or bad, and to have the ability to distinguish the difference. So the blood of Jesus, it says, cleanses our conscience from those acts that lead to death, which means that we, our conscience, no longer is prone to acts that cause us to fail, but our conscience is clean and pure. And the enemy may come and try to remind you, and you just say, just get out of here. You're not welcome here anymore. I am no longer defined by my past history. I am a new creation. I am a new person. I have the revelation of Jesus Christ in my life, and I will not lead my future because of my past. My past is no longer defines my future. My past no longer defines my future. Sign of love. To him who loves us. Revelation 1:5-6. I love this. To him who loves us, he loves me. And he has freed us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To know him, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. To him who walked, to him who frippin' loves us. He has given everything for us. He died for us. He suffered for us. He took all my shame. He took all my mess. He took all my guilt. He took all my foul-mouthedness. He took away my addictions. He just set me free from fear, from all those things. To him who loves us and what has freed us from our sin by what? By his blood. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. Thank you, Lord, that you have set me free, that I am a kingdom unto you, that I contain everything in my life that is needed to enter into that place, into that spiritual realm with the Father, where I can see from heaven's perspective, and I can know you, and I can know the power of your blood over my life every day, with every moment, with every choice I have to make, everything. I am brought from darkness into light. I am no longer an orphan. I am a daughter. Come on. That is who you are. That is what you are in Christ. You realize that you are, right? Because of the blood, you are justified. Because of the blood, you are free from condemnation. Because of the blood, you are forgiven. You are redeemed from slavery. You are no longer servants and slaves to the kingdom of darkness. You are sons and daughters and priests of God. Come on. Your conscience has been cleansed. I don't know about you, but that was like a major thing for me, like a cleansed conscience, you know, a clean mind, clean heart. Amazing. You've passed from death unto life. You are protected. You are covered. You are consecrated. You are filled with new life. You are born again. You are a new creation. Stop picking up the old corpse and carrying it around. It is no longer necessary. You are a new creation, born of God, a child of God. You are powerful to the overthrowing of rulers and princes of darkness. You have the revelation of the thoughts and the ways of God. Do you know that you, when you spend time with God, that you have the ability to tap into the very thoughts of God's heart, that you have the ability to tap into his mind and know what he's thinking and know where he's going and being able to partner with him. You have the revelation that you can shatter strongholds. Come on. The Bible says, open wide ye gates and let the King of Glory in. We have the ability, you have the ability to shatter every gate that stands in your way by the power of the blood of Jesus, by your declaration. Why? Because the same spirit that lives in you is the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. You are anointed to heal the sick. You're anointed to cast out devils, to break off bondages, to clear out addictions off people's lives. You're called to raise the dead. Do not have fear, people. You're loved. You're cherished. You are worthy. You are adored today. You're never alone today. You're never alone. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Come on. No matter what you're feeling today, no matter what it looks like in the natural around you, God says you are not alone. When you feel alone, take a moment, close your eyes and say, God, show me where you are with me right now. Show me, where are you in this room? Where are you in this room? Ask him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you what he's thinking and how much he loves you. You're equipped. You are appreciated. You are appointed and anointed for this very season. You are qualified to walk in all of that. You are qualified to walk in all of that. You are a sign of consecration. You are a sign of redemption. You are a sign of justification. You're a sign of righteousness. You're a sign of power and authority. You are a sign and a wonder. You're a sign that makes people wonder, who is that crazy woman dancing like that on Facebook? Seriously, who is that crazy woman telling people that she can heal the sick and raise the dead? I am that crazy woman. I am that crazy woman. And let me tell you, I will partner with that. I will partner with that wildness. I will partner with that boldness. I will partner with the Holy Spirit until the day he takes me home to be with him. When I annoy the enemy so much that he cannot stand to be in my company. Come on. We have authority, people. That is who you are. You are mighty. You are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And you know what? You are so loved by God. Look at me. I'm like burning with fire right now. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Shoo. Yes. And let's rise up and believe who we are. Let's take it. You know, like how long are we going to sit in church and go, oh, yeah, that's a nice idea. Seriously, waken up to the knowledge of who you are and begin to activate that. Begin to believe that you're consecrated and justified and redeemed, that you're powerful. Come on, that you're loved, that you're not alone, that you're cherished, that you're adored. That there's an eternity that's going to be way better than where we are today. It's going to be way better than where we are today. It's time to partner with the finished work of the cross. Jesus said it is finished. It is done. There's nothing more to be done. It's completed. We make it too difficult. Just remember who you are today, that you're loved, and you are powerful, and you are a sign, and you are a wonder. But Father, I just thank you today for the sign of your blood, the sign of love, the sign of redemption, the sign that we belong to you, God, the sign that we are holy and righteous, that we are cherished, that we are forgiven, that we have the power to forgive others. Thank you that your blood still speaks a better word. It has force and power and authority even today. And we choose today, God, to partner with the truth, to partner with your love, that we are your sons and daughters. First and foremost, God, our identity is being a son and a daughter. And today, God, we love you and we honor your blood today. We honor your sacrifice today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.